A reading from the first letter of St. Paul to the Thessalonians. You yourselves know, brothers and sisters, that our reception among you was not without effect. Rather, after we had suffered and been insolently treated, as you know in Philippi, we drew courage through our God to speak to you the gospel of God with much struggle. Our exhortation was not from delusion or impure motives, nor did it work through deception. But as we were judged worthy by God to be entrusted with the gospel, that is how we speak, not as trying to please man, but rather God, who judges our hearts. Nor indeed did we ever appear with flattering speech, as you know, or with a pretext for greed. God is witness. Nor did we seek praise from men, either from you or from others. Although we were able to impose our weight as apostles of Christ, rather we were gentle among you, as a nursing mother cares for her children. With such affection for you, we were determined to share with you not only the gospel of God, but our very selves as well. So dearly beloved, had you become to us, the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
You have searched me, and you know me, Lord.
You have searched me, and you know me, Lord.
O Lord, you have probed me, and you know me. You know when I sit and when I stand. You understand my thoughts from afar. My journeys and my rest you scrutinize. With all my ways you are familiar.
You have searched me, and you know me, Lord.
Even before a word is on my tongue. Behold, O Lord, you know the whole of it. Behind me and before, you hem me in and rest your hand upon me. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me, too lofty for me to obtain.
You have searched me and you know me, Lord.
Dominus vobiscum.
Et cum spiritu tuo.
Lectio Sancti Evangelii secundum Matteo.
Gloria tibi, Domine.
Jesus said, "Woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, you hypocrites! You pay tithes of mint and dill and cumin, and have neglected the weightier things of the law, judgment and mercy and fidelity. But these you should have done without neglecting the others, blind guides who strain out the gnat and swallow the camel. Woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, you hypocrites! You cleanse the outside of cup and dish, but inside they are full of plunder and self-indulgence. Blind Pharisee, cleanse first the inside of the cup so that the outside also may be clean."
Verbum Domini.
Dominus.
In our gospel today, Jesus rebukes the Pharisees and the scribes. He constantly tells them that they are hypocrites. This actually continues from the gospel yesterday, and we'll actually hear it again tomorrow. So obviously, Jesus is trying to tell us something since he's repeating himself, rebuking and admonishing these scribes and Pharisees. Woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, you lock the kingdom of heaven before men. You do not enter yourselves. I mean, he basically condemns them. I mean, you would think that they would repent when Jesus tells them, you're not entering yourself. You would think that they would say, I'm sorry, but they continue. And then Jesus continues, nor do you allow entrance to those trying to enter. He continues, woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, you hypocrites, you are like whitewashed tombs, which appear beautiful on the outside, but inside are full of dead men's bones and every kind of filth. You have to appreciate the description that our Lord uses when he's describing these Pharisees and scribes and the life that they live. Woe to you, blind guides, etc., etc. When I first hear this, meditating upon the scripture, my first inclination is prayers of reparation. There are people living today that might have such a hardened heart, such as these scribes and Pharisees, and we pray in reparation, like the chaplet. Eternal Father, I offer you the body and blood, soul and divinity of your dearly beloved Son, our Lord Jesus Christ, in atonement for our sins and those of the whole world. And in parentheses, these scribes and Pharisees that we know, so to speak. Reparation for sins. Now, we need to realize the context that our Lord is saying these rebukes. This comes from the 26th chapter, I do believe, of Matthew, or the 23rd chapter of Matthew. And before he gets to his whole list of rebuking the scribes and Pharisees, this is what Jesus says. This is key to understanding this. Jesus spoke to the crowds and to his disciples, saying, the scribes and the Pharisees have taken their seat on the chair of Moses. Therefore, do and observe all things whatsoever they tell you. He is telling his disciples and all the people there, do what they say. These hypocrites, do what they say. These people that aren't even going to heaven. He says, therefore, do and observe all things whatsoever they tell you. It seems like it's a contradiction. And then he follows, but do not follow their example, for they preach, but they do not practice. You know, thinking about this, it's like parents telling their children, go to Mass on Sunday. You have to go to Mass on Sunday, but they don't go themselves. That's like priests telling people, you should go to confession. Try to go to confession at least once a month. Then we don't ever go ourselves. Why would someone do this? It would be impossible, it would seem like, to obey someone if they are not practicing what they preach. But here, Jesus highlights the virtue of obedience. We are obedient to people, lawful authority, that in God's providence, he at least permitted to have this authority, because this is part of the redemption. Jesus, he even subjected himself to someone like Pontius Pilate, to King Herod, even though he's the King of Kings. He can do whatever he wants. He is God. And yet he subjected himself to people that don't have our best interests. This is the virtue of obedience. So here we see this whole litany, this list of the scribes and Pharisees doing these things, doing all of these horrible ways of living the gospels, and he's telling us, do and observe all things whatsoever they tell you. St. John Chrysostom, he has a perfect quote about this specific passage. He says, "Is there anything more lamentable than a teacher whose only way of saving his pupils is to tell them not to heed the life of the one speaking to them?" So we really have to pray, I mean, in terms of the leaders of the church, the clergy, priests, bishops, cardinals, obviously the Pope, we pray that they practice what they preach. I myself, I have to practice what I preach. Now, nobody's perfect. I mean, they don't make the Immaculate Conception, those kind anymore. We're all trying to hopefully struggle to become saints. But we have to have a firm purpose of amendment when we admit our faults and get back up and try harder. But some people, even within the clergy, may not have the integrity to actually strive for perfection, admitting that they're saints and just lording it over people. I mean, it's very sad when there may be people in this situation. Now, there's scandals that happen. I am not making excuses for any of these scandals. Some clergy belong in jail. Some of them are in jail based on some of the crimes and the sins that they have committed. So when you hear something like the scribes and Pharisees doing all of these horrible things, it may actually be in terms of happening today based on what the clergy have done. But we have to pray in reparation for their sins. I know it's probably not said a lot, maybe on this network, since it's Mother Angelica's network, you would think that she, especially founding a community, an order of nuns, that especially make reparation for sins, especially of the clergy. Now, if I can point to a specific document, one of my favorite documents, this is from the Congregation for the Clergy, now the Dicastery, Eucharistic Adoration for the Sanctification of Priests and Spiritual Maternity. So this was written, again, by the congregation, and it was sent to every bishop of the world, asking lay people, regardless of age, regardless of culture, to pray in Eucharistic adoration in reparation for the clergy's sins. The more we do this, the less scandals that we have, the better the church will be. The devil wants to destroy the church. You know this. I don't have to tell you this. He wants to ruin souls. That's what he's all about. He wants people to go to hell. So who will he target if he wants to destroy the church? Priests. We're entrusted with the sacred mysteries. We further the redemption of Christ by offering the holy sacrifice of the Mass. We're in the confessional. We say absolution over a penitent. All of their sins of their whole life are forgiven. With a power as such, if he's able in any way to attack priests, maybe not to be in the confessional more, not to celebrate Mass reverently, in any way to diminish the faith, he will try it. And the thing is, the devil doesn't have a body. He never gets tired. He doesn't have to eat. He doesn't have to sleep. All of these fallen angels, they act all the time trying to ruin souls. Like, again, these scribes and Pharisees, these hypocrites. But again, we have the clergy, they're in charge in God's providence. So we pray that they become saints. We pray that they are holy, and we pray in reparation for their sins. So this is especially what comes to mind when I hear something like this. No priesthood, no Eucharist. No Eucharist, no Jesus in the Blessed Sacrament. No food for our journey to heaven. It would be difficult or practically impossible if we are not fed with the bread of life. And yet it comes through the hands of priests. Now, I don't know why God did it this way. I mean, you could ask him yourself. Why he entrusted to weak men the furthering of the redemption of Christ in the sacraments. This is his providence. So it's not just simply out of charity that we pray for priests, bishops, cardinals, and the popes, it's out of justice. We are dependent upon the grace of God. We are dependent upon the sacraments. So as much as we see the weaknesses in us clergy, we really have to pray, especially that we persevere and we be faithful. Now, I'm most likely preaching to the choir. I mean, people that go to daily mass, they know how important the Eucharist is. Thus, they know how important the priesthood is. Those who frequent confession, again, I'm probably preaching to the choir. You most likely go to confession frequently. You know, there is a possibility that priests don't frequent confession. Believe it or not, there are probably priests that don't pray in front of the Blessed Sacrament every day. Maybe they don't even celebrate Mass on their day off. Now, I'm not trying to point any fingers. We have a right to celebrate Mass every single day, even if we're traveling and nobody's there. I don't understand why someone wouldn't celebrate Mass every day if they had the right. I mean, to use a short analogy, that's like saying, here's $1 billion. No, I don't want $1 billion. Again, this is an analogy. If I can celebrate Mass every day, even if someone's not there, God willing, I would do it, because it's the greatest thing that anyone can do. This is the holy sacrifice of the Mass. I mean, the whole Paschal mystery is contained in the holy sacrifice. So why wouldn't anyone, if you had the opportunity to go to Mass even every day, to seize that opportunity? I hope every Catholic would be able to say, yes, if I can go to Mass every day, I would. Now, subjectively speaking, some can't. Let's just say, for example, someone from Southern California, a husband, a father, he has to wake up like at 4 or 5 in the morning to beat the traffic. He would want to go to Mass, but he can't. There are sometimes in God's providence and his will, some people can't go to daily Mass. Maybe they live in a rural area and there's no Mass celebrated close to them, or they don't have the means to go. Well, obviously God's will be done, but if you had the opportunity, would you do so? Do you make spiritual communions which prolongs the fruit of our prior sacramental communion? All of these things we can do as Catholics, whether or not we're actually utilizing them in our spiritual lives, is something we should ask ourselves. St. Pio, the world can easily continue on without the physical sun than without the sacrifice of the Mass. St. John Vianney, when people want to destroy religion, they start by attacking priests, because where there are no priests, there is no sacrifice. And where there is no sacrifice, there is no religion. Again, St. John Vianney, oh, how great is the priest. If he realized what he is, he would die. God obeys him. He utters a few words, and the Lord descends from heaven at his voice to be contained within a small host. Now, if I could recommend a resolution for us Catholics, can you pray a Eucharistic holy hour at least once a week? I know for some, it could be very difficult. Some are very busy. I realize everyone's busy. The busier you are, the more you should pray. But in terms of prayer, we should never try to find time to pray within our schedule. That's the wrong way to look at it. You make time to pray. You have prayer as your priority. There's a huge essential difference from trying to find time to pray within your schedule and making time to pray. You all eat every day. We go to sleep. There are some necessary things that we have to do for our body. There are necessary things that we have to do for our soul. And getting to heaven is the primary reason why we're alive. Therefore, we have to pray. You would think that people would also want to pray in front of the real presence of Christ in the Blessed Sacrament. You know, as a missionary, they call the Fathers of Mercy, we preach missions, we preach retreats, we preach Eucharistic booths. Basically, we're there for a weekend, and we try to get people to pray in front of the Blessed Sacrament, especially if there's a perpetual Eucharistic Adoration Chapel. We need people in front of the Blessed Sacrament at every hour. So we're there, we're preaching. It's the most discouraging thing for me to preach a homily trying to say saint stories, Catholic theology, and things like this, trying for people to sign up, and we have the tables there before you leave the church, and people just storm out because Mass is over and they're free to do whatever they want to do on that Sunday. They could care less to spend time in front of Jesus in the Blessed Sacrament. I mean, I'm a priest. I would think that they would love to spend time in front of our Lord. Obviously, we're talking about someone's faith here. So if they have very little faith or no faith at all, they would never spend time in front of the Blessed Sacrament besides the obligatory hour that they have at Sunday Mass. So if you had the chance to spend time in front of our Lord within your duties of state of life, within your divine vocation, would you do so? I mean, if you live here, like in Birmingham, close here, there are churches everywhere. I mean, this chapel is open until 10 p.m. And I'm here running, exercising at night when usually no one's here. People are coming in the chapel praying. And it's very edifying to see people pray even in the late hours of the night because they want to spend time in front of our Lord. Eucharistic adoration always includes reparation for sins. Our sins and the sins of others. So if you haven't had a chance in your life to spend time in front of Jesus in the most blessed sacrament in Eucharistic adoration, whether the Blessed Sacrament is exposed in the monstrance or reposed in the tabernacle, we should always try to take advantage of spending time with our Lord. You know, God willing, when we get to heaven, we will see God face to face. All of our desires, all of our hopes will all come true when we see God face to face. But if we're not doing it now, if we don't have a good taste of praying in front of the Blessed Sacrament, seeing Jesus face to face, then are we really ready to die? It's just something that I think about. I mean, if someone never wants to spend time in front of Jesus and they say they want to go to heaven, do they know what heaven's about, seeing God face to face? I'm not saying that you have to live in this church. I'm not saying you have to live in this chapel and spend 5 to 6 hours a day in front of the Blessed Sacrament. We have nuns that do that. But still, you can make time to pray in front of our Lord, especially in reparation for clergy's sins. Now, for those who are homebound, for those who can't go to church, God bless you. I'm sure it's a big cross. Again, try to make spiritual communions where it prolongs the fruits of our prior sacramental communion, where the fruits of our prior sacramental communion will be reborn in our souls. Then you can pray a holy hour that way by making spiritual communions. Is every day a Eucharistic day for you? St. Pio, 1,000 years of enjoying human glory is not worth even an hour spent sweetly communing with Jesus in the Blessed Sacrament.